Dr. Price, members of the board, faculty and staff, honorees, graduates, family, friends, fellow redeemed, co-laborers in Jesus Christ. Graduation day at Concordia Seminary is a day of special joy for all of us and for all our church. With gratitude, we lift our hearts and our voices to God, whose blessing has brought us to this moment. And recognizing that graduation is not an ending, but a beginning, we turn our eyes to the future with a fervent prayer and with bright confidence in God's continuing grace and guidance for us all and for the church we love. It is a unique privilege for me to be here to accept the honor that Concordia has chosen to confer on me. As I wrote to Dr. Price some weeks ago, I cherish this honorary degree as evidence of our shared commitment to the high spiritual ideals which Christ has taught us, and our passion for continuing faithfulness in the ministry of the gospel. I learned respect for this noble institution early in life. My sainted father graduated from Concordia Seminary in Springfield in 1915. And throughout his ministry, he heralded the school's significant contribution, not only to his ministry, but to the life and the ministry of our beloved church. And although I count it a privilege to sit on the board of regents of another proud Concordia, I am pleased to be identified with the gifted and dedicated men who are the board of regents, the president and administration, the faculty and the student body of this solid and strong seminary, a school devoutly loyal to God and to His Word, deeply faithful to our church and its mission, and eager always to reach out to our generation with a message of hope and of help and of peace. All of us who are gathered here tonight know well the rich and redeeming love of God in Christ Jesus. It is at the heart of our life and of the fellowship that we share. The scripture readings in our churches last Sunday boldly proclaim God's call to us to accept His love, and then in the richness of His gift, to share love with one another and with the world all around us. To this end, the Lord established the church. For this noble purpose, He shaped the office of the holy ministry. To be numbered with the children of God, whom He has gathered in Christ Jesus, is the greatest blessing to which any of us could ever aspire. And since our great God has chosen to reach out to us and to our world with His holy word and holy sacraments, since these are the means which the Spirit employs to bring His grace to human hearts, we become awesomely aware that to serve the Lord in the office of the holy ministry offers the greatest trust known to mankind, the highest privilege, the noblest of all human pursuits. As I pondered how I might effectively use these precious limited moments, I knew that 1 week from tonight, my dear wife, Yvonne, and I would see our son, Mark, graduating from Concordia in St. Louis, eager to begin his own new life and to exercise his commitment to God and to the ministry of the Word. And so I've chosen tonight to to share with you some of the counsel which I feel constrained to offer to a beloved son. Claim with humility and with thanksgiving the special call that you have received from God. Recognize that this time in history is the day that God has appointed for you to live in His world. And for today, He has shaped you for ministry. Claim your assignment courageously and live your days with confidence, not in the arrogance of self-trust, but in the happy assurance that you are God's, chosen by Him for His purpose and for the fulfillment of His promises. And our God is faithful and true. Recognize that you will make mistakes. Know that your ministry will suffer badly at times because of your human limitations. Accept that you will know the anguish of disappointment and frustration and failure. But resolve that such negative moments will turn you more positively to God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let your faith claim His promise again. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And show love in all that you do, demonstrating your understanding of the human condition and reflecting a godlike response to it. You are called to help and to offer healing. That means that you must reach out and touch and communicate with people where they are, not where you wish they might be. But believe in God's power to change both hearts and lives. Trust the means of grace that God has shared with you to share with others. Be quick to recognize improvement in those to whom you minister. Give praise and further encouragement wherever that is helpful. And do not hesitate to speak words of warning and admonition where they are required, but do so always in a humble and gracious manner that assures readiness to help, to lift up, to equip, and to guide. Offer forgiveness richly to repentant hearts, knowing yourself the peace that fills a heart made pure by God's love. Preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of its wonder and dynamic, searching ways constantly to apply to human hearts and lives the whole counsel of God. But let the message of your sermons and the emphasis of scriptural teaching carry over into your entire life and be reflected in all of your relationships. Let your everyday and your response to every situation repeat the call of this morning's sermon. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do not let a careless lifestyle confuse people about the truth or the earnestness of the message that you have voiced. Gladly exercise yourself the Holy Spirit's gifts of grace that can enrich and ennoble your everyday. Strive for excellence in ministry. No matter how you have grown and how well you are equipped, you have just begun to learn. Each new situation and every new year will present a challenge that you have not before experienced. Continue to study and to repair yourself develop and exercise the fullness of your potential for life and service. Claim the advice and counsel of people with expertise in a variety of areas. Learn from the example and the studied habits of your elders and of men with unique experience. Grow and mature with the passing years so that you do not become an impediment to the critical task that God has laid upon His church in a fast-moving and fast-changing day. But do not become totally concerned with style or technique or strategy or with administrative or programmatic expertise, for you will not know true success in ministry unless you remember and apply the basics that God's grace has taught us. That is, that in simple faith and in richness of love you hold close to Jesus Christ as your own Savior, that you remain faithful to His unchanging word, and that you let the Spirit of God give vigor and dynamic and direction to the life and the service and the fellowship that we share. Search the Scriptures daily and devoutly for your own sake. Draw frequently on the strength and the blessing of the Holy Sacrament. Give yourself constantly to fervent, faithful prayer, and build your trust in the Lordship and leadership of a loving God as you follow His urging and claim the richness of His promises. I beg you, my brothers, accept respectfully that you will be a model for others. People will be conscious of the depth of your commitment, of the sincerity of your virtuous life, of the cheerfulness with which you live your days and fulfill your calling. People will respond to your love for the truth and the promises of God, to your allegiance to the church and its mission, to your acceptance of and your striving to meet faithfully and fully the requirements of your high and holy office. People will learn from your grace and strength in times of trial, from your sensitivity toward and compassion for others, and for your readiness to be a servant and to suffer if necessary for the cause of gospel ministry and for the faith that God has given as gift. And then when your life appears to be going well, lift your eyes to heaven and give the praise and glory where it belongs to Him who reminds us, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you." How great our God! How wonderful His love toward us! And have I been speaking to graduates only? Ah, no. For what these words suggest speak truth to each of us and all of us who know Christ's call, who live our life and build our service in His name. And every one of us must pray that our own heart and life may voice again the words the great apostle penned, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Thank you. God bless you tonight and always. Thank you.